it's toward me. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. As we think about that passage, we want to ask a question. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks? Have you ever thought about that? How can I say thanks to God for all the amazing things that he's done, the grace that he's shown, the power that he's given? How can I say thanks? Father, we do thank you for your blessing, for your glory. And Lord, I pray that today you'd speak to our hearts, help us to understand your truth, that we might apply it, change us for what we hear. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed change us for the good. In a few minutes, Lord, we'll be serving communion. And we want to reflect on how that you gave your all for us. You gave your very blood for us. And we're thankful for that. And every time that we receive of this supper, it reminds us of how you died that we might have life. And we're grateful. We're grateful. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen. I've entitled this a little subtopic, Praise Improvement. Praise Improvement. It's not that we're not giving God praise, but that we're giving him praise, but I think that many of us think about a certain level of how we praise God and how we honor God. The psalmist was searching his soul and asking the question, what can I give God? For all the amazing things that he's done for me, what can I give God? What can I offer? What can I render unto the Lord for all of the amazing benefits that he's provided in my life? Have you ever thought about that? How good God has been. How wonderful he's been. And how he's heard our prayers and blessed us. And what the psalmist was challenged with is all of these amazing things that God is doing. And if I only give him just a minimal amount of my praise, then I'm not doing him justice. How can you say thanks to God? As we think about this and some of the things that we recognize in our lives is that the greatest gift that you and I can possibly give God is to give him thanks. Everything else he gives to you, the very breath you have. If you say, well, I'm going to offer my time, God has to give you time. If you say, well, I'm going to give him my talent, God first gave you that talent. Whatever you give to God, he first gave it to you. But you can give him something that represents you. It originates from your heart, and that is to say thanks. How can I say thanks? When you think about this, I want us to be reminded that as Protestants, there are certain things that we believe, certain things about God. I try to bring these in every so often because a lot of us, you can go to some churches and you don't know what you believe. You don't know what you believe except, well, I had a good time. We have to have some truth in our lives. And if your faith is not based on truth, it's going to waver. It's going to drift from that solid foundation. And I just want to go over these briefly, and from time to time I'll come back to them. But as Protestants, and whether it's denomination of Baptists, Methodists, even Pentecostals, what causes us to believe in God, five things, and you cannot compromise them. Number one, sola Christos. Or Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Christ and Christ alone. You were redeemed by Jesus Christ. Not by the works of the law, as Paul says in Galatians 2 and 16. Not by the works of the law, not by anything that you could do. But by God's grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sola Christos, Jesus and Jesus alone. People say, well, why don't you all worship Muhammad? He didn't save you. All right? Why don't we worship some other God? They didn't save you. Christ went to the cross to save you. And then we look at sola fide, or so by faith alone. Faith and faith alone. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Pastor, why are we going through this? Because I see people doing a whole lot of stuff that is not about grace, and it's not about faith. Amen? Now, I say this because a lot of people, they get nervous when you come into church, and if you're saved, then you got to clap your hands. Some people may not feel like clapping their hands. Everybody stand on your feet and praise the Lord. You know, if you got arthritis hurting you, Reverend Gibbons just talked about being getting old, stuff get a hold of you. Don't feel that you are obligated to praise God out of the realm that's not your character. Maybe some people jumping up and they're getting loud and everything. That may not be you. Amen. So don't feel. Now, if it is you, then let the redeemer of the Lord say. Are y'all listening to me? So you've got to understand that your faith is not based on how loud you can get or how quiet you can be. It's about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based on your faith in God. Don't let people feel like you're pressured into you got to do this to show you're saved. You know it within your heart. Amen. You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. And then sola gratia, or grace alone. It is God's grace that saved you. And that not of yourself, because if you could save yourself, then you're going to boast. You're going to boast about it. You say, well, what does this have to do with the sermon? What King David was saying in that psalm, he wasn't trying to praise God as a work. He wanted to show God gratitude. And I think many of us, we feel like that we got to do this. Well, let me go to church today because it's my Christian duty. Wait a minute. I thought God was good to you and you want to come and tell him thank you. Is that why you're here? So it's by grace and grace alone. Listen. There's nothing that you could ever possibly do to make God love you, because he said he loved you before he made you. Now you can respond to that love. Are y'all in the house? So as you respond to that love, matter of fact, if you don't respond to that love, it's an indication that you don't know him. We love God because he first, what? Loved us. And then John says, 1 John says, anyone that knows God will love God. Amen? It's by grace and grace alone. Christ and Christ alone, faith and faith alone, not works. Now, if you are saved, something's going to happen. You're going to do some things, but not to get saved. Not to prove your worth before God, but to show God that you really love him. And that you care. And then sola scriptura, which is the I believe in the scripture, by God's word, scripture and scripture alone. What does it say about the scripture? 2 Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, for doctrine. And says that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's why you have the scripture. You have God's word. It is God breathed. Are y'all in the house? You say, what does that have to do with the sermon? There are a lot of people claiming that they're giving thanks. I don't know where they're getting their basis from. You have to stand on God's word and God's word alone. And then the last one, sola deo gloria. We sing gloria. You sing that, and we want to recognize God, for God, to God be the glory, right? We just sung that song, and y'all did a great, I'm going to give you a hand. You did a great job. But Colossians says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. And it's that last one I want to bring out. That last one is what I want to talk about today, for the glory of God. Because when the psalmist was looking for, he was searching in his heart, trying to give God thanks for the amazing things that God had done. It was not based on his works and what he could do. Here's what he found out. He found out that when I give God praise, God blesses me. or I recognize more of God's blessing. So I try to give him more praise and God blesses me more. How many of you recognize that he keeps on blessing you over and over again? Things you don't deserve, yet God gives to you. So what he was trying to do is to get his praise to catch up with God's blessing. You see the problem here? You see the issue here? He's trying to give God thanks, and he's asking himself, when I look at all the things that God has done, when I start counting my blessings, when I start recognizing who he is and how amazing God is, I can't keep up with it. Because it's for the glory of God, and because I love God, I want to praise him. I want to thank him. So you've got to look at what your praise is involved with and how you're praising God. And he starts off in the psalm. He says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. If you love something, you never stop talking about it, do you? You just talk about it over and over and over and over again because you love them. Now, I want to tell you something. December is a special month for me. December is a special month. My wife and I, we have been married for a long time. Now, on our first anniversary, I bought her some flowers. But after 40-some years, if I just come with a little bouquet of flowers, you know what she's saying? That ain't gonna cut it. That's not gonna work. And what we want to do Sunday after Sunday, as a matter of fact, we want to give God praise and we say we love him, but we're offering him stale flowers. Amen. Our praise is all about what we did last Sunday. Well, let me just sing that same song. And true, you might be singing the same song, but you can have a different attitude.
Amen.
You start giving God thanks because you praise him. It's an expression of how much you love God and your affection. If I don't get more flowers than this, it ain't going to cut it. There's only one flower. Hey, there you go. That's it. Hey, there you go, Miss Cone. She don't even want it. Lord have mercy. The second thing about praise is that praise is continuous. It shouldn't be something that part of your day. Let me ask this question. Does God just bless you one time and then that's done? Every morning that you wake up, God has brand new mercy for you and for me. So our praise should be continuous. It's something that we always want to give to God, something we are always recognizing in our lives that God is so good. And the psalmist said in Psalm 104:33, he says, as long as I have breath, as long as I live, I'm going to praise God. Amen. And then another song, he says, as long as I have breath. Well, how long are you going to have breath? I don't know, but I'm going to praise God. Amen. Let me tell you what happens. When you don't give God praise, you automatically start thinking about something else. All right? And you run into two risks. Number one, you run the risk of not thanking him for what he deserves. Right? Who did these things? God deserved. Listen, it's the football season now. And you see the guy, he'll catch the ball and then he'll run over to the end zone and he'll do a little hot dog dance, you know. He's just so glad that he was able to get that touchdown. But now think about this. What if somebody on the bench came up and said, give me the football, I'm going to do the dance. He didn't make the play. Now, if God has done these amazing things in your life, you run the risk of not giving him credit for what he's done. But there's a second risk here. When you don't praise God, when you don't honor him, you just take his blessings for granted. Well, come on, God, bless me with something else here. Come on, God, give me food to eat. Come on. And as if God owes you. Now, listen. God doesn't owe you anything. He did you a favor early this morning, amen? Because you don't know how many times death circled your bed and said, I want to take them out. God said, no. This is not the day for them to die. This is the day for them to live. Are y'all in the house today? So when you start praising God, you're saying, Lord, I can't give this praise to anyone else. This praise only belongs to you, and I don't want to get to the place where I'm not recognizing you for all the things that you've done. So you don't just praise him one time and just quit. Well, I went to church last Sunday. I praised God. Well, wait a minute. 7 days have gone by. What are you going to do? You give him thanks and you recognize him. Praise is a continual, and after all, he only asks you for a few hours on one day of the week. He give you all the rest of them. You don't have time? But when I think about God's goodness, when I think about all the mercy that he's shown, how can I say thanks unto God? And then praise is also something that is very important. It is your gift. It is your gift that you're giving to God. You're saying, and so look at the psalmist. Think about him. We're getting into this season now. Just had Black Friday, and everybody, you know, they want to rush out and get a gift that's cheap. But when the psalmist was thinking about this, he's saying to himself, how can I find the richest blessing, the thing that says I thank you better than anyone else? Can you just see him looking through all of the time that he's prayed? He said, I thank the Lord because he's my shepherd and I shall not want. Then he said, wait a minute, that's not good enough. I've given him that one many minutes. I thank the Lord because he's the light of my life. I thank him because he keeps me. I thank him because he's my shield. No, he said, no, I can't give him that. Let me give God. He said, now what can I render unto God for all of the wonderful things that he's done for me? He searches for his best praise, the best praise that he can possibly give him, because that's what he wants to present to God. Every time you come in with an attitude of how much you love God, how much you honor him, you're bringing that gift and you're saying, God, here's my gift for you. As a matter of fact, when you came in this morning, you had a smile on your face and you say, you know what? I know I got problems in my life. I know I got things I'm going through, but God, I'm going to give you my best gift. I want to honor you today because you are this wonderful God that I worship, this God that I serve. You give me breath for my lungs. You cause my blood to flow through my body. I just want to give you thanks for all of the amazing things that you've done. For God's glory and his glory alone. Colossians says, whatever you do. So you not only praise God when you're in corporate worship, when you're thanking him in here, whatever you do, word or deed. Now here's where I'm guilty. Here's where I'm guilty. Probably I'm not going to judge you because I'm too busy looking at my own life. Here's why I'm guilty. And if you feel the same way, here's where you're guilty, because you recognize that God has not been in every word or deed. I haven't honored God in everything that I've done in my life. I haven't given God thanks. But you know what? From this moment on, I'm going to change the way I think. My life is going to be dedicated to praise, because we said that this praise must be what? Continuous. So while I'm working on my job that I don't like and trying to get another one, I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Every time I get frustrated at my spouse, I'm going to praise the Lord. Every time when people do me wrong, I'm going to give God thanks. Because it says, don't praise him just for one thing. Right. Praise him in everything. Are y'all in the house today? You've got to give him glory. You've got to live that life of worship and praise, because you recognize that he's the one that all the praise and glory belongs. Philippians 4:20. He says, when you do that, you're recognizing God and the Father forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now, let's look at very briefly how to do your praise improvement. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm going to do some praise improvement today. You know, if you had to lose some weight, you got to get up on that machine. You can't look at it. You know, you can't turn it on, just watch it run. If you're going to turn that treadmill on, you got to get up on that machine, right? If you're going to improve, you've got to exercise this. You've got to make sure that you are doing some things that will truly honor God. Here's some things you need to think about. Number one, rest in his goodness. Wait a minute, what does that mean? How did that get into this praise thing? How did that become a part of my praise? Listen, when you rest in God's goodness, you take a Sabbath. You're saying, God, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. The biggest problem that we run into in America is this thing called lust.
Lust is not only a sexual thing. Lust can be a thing where you got to have. It's covetousness. It's all of these things where I got to have more. Got to have more. Listen, I don't need anything else except God. Just give me God and I'm satisfied. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 23? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I'm not going to be carried away with these things of the world. Just because somebody else has it doesn't mean I got to have it. Look at somebody, tell them I'm satisfied. Might be driving the same old car, but I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Because when you rest in God, what you're saying is, Lord, your goodness has been so great in my life. Your mercy has been so good to me. He says, I will rest in the Lord. I'm going to rest in Him. And a lot of people, they don't celebrate the Sabbath. They're toiling, they're saying, and they're even sometimes when you're in church where you got to think about, well, what else I need to do? You don't need to do anything except rest. In other words, take a break. Take a break from the cares of this life. Take a break from the problems of life. Rest your mind. Rest your heart. Rest your soul, because if God doesn't help you, if God is not with you, you're not going to do it. Rest in the Lord. But not only do you rest in His goodness, you recognize God's name. Verse 13, he says, now I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There are a lot of people that they want God's salvation. In other words, Lord, fill my cup. But as soon as God blesses them, they forget about what the Lord has done. You know, we're to always recognize the name of the Lord. Luke tells us in the 17th chapter that 10 lepers came and they asked Jesus, Lord, save us and heal us of this leprosy. All 10 were healed. Only one came back to give Him thanks. What are you going to do after God does these amazing things in your life? Are you just going to keep on your way? Say, okay, God, I appreciate that. But I'm going to keep on going. You got to stop and give Him praise and recognize that His name is good. His name is worthy. Because when you give God all the credit, when you start recognizing that, Lord, you deserve all the glory, all of the praise, and all of the honor, no other name goes on that. No other name claims that. If you look at all the things that's happened in your life, all the storms that God has brought you through, all the blessings that He has brought your way, no one else could have done it but God. You notice how some people gave up on you, said that you weren't going to make it, but the Lord made a way out of no way. Are y'all in the house today? When you recognize that if it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? So you recognize that His name is good. And then lastly, you render your vows unto the Lord. Now here's your part of doing good works. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. So when I start working for God, when I start doing this thing, it's not to gain God's favor, I got His favor. It's not to say I need God, I've got God. It's not to say I'm walking in a blessing. As a matter of fact, I am a blessing. Here's what happened to the psalmist and why he recognized that he had to honor God. Every time the Lord blessed him, he'd have this little small container out, say, God, I need this. And you know what God would do? God would cause it to overflow. So he wrote in Psalm 23 in verse 5, my cup runneth over. So you know what he did? He ran back and got him a bigger cup of praise. So when he went back and got a bigger cup, guess what happened to that cup? It ran over. So he went back and he got something else. He said, wait a minute, God, I need. That's what he was saying in that psalm. He said, God, you've done so much for me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of the things that He's done for me? Now, you're not David and neither am I. But God has been good.
Amen.
He has done some amazing things in your life. He has brought you. Can I go back and talk with my grandma used to say? He's brought you from a mighty long way. So I want to ask you a question. Are you going to keep that same little cup? Or are you going to get a bigger cup of praise? Are you going to say to God, Lord, let me get the biggest praise that I can and let it just flow in my heart and bless you? Because, Lord, all I can't keep up with you. But what I can do is I can say thank you. You can't repay God, but what you can say, Lord, I appreciate you. So when he got up in the morning, the psalmist would get up and he'd sing to the Lord. He would praise God. He would honor God. And God said, he's praising me again. Let me bless him one more time. Let me just give him that joy. Every time you praise God, you're lifting yourself up out of the tide of complaining. You know what? Before I got to church this morning, I was frustrated. You know, you get on your computer and it doesn't do what you want to do. It takes forever. You know, when that little thing comes up and it just starts, like I'm occupied with something right now. I get back to you. Wait a minute. I paid money for you. Huh? And you have things that happen your way. But when you start thinking about how good God has been, how wonderful he is, it lifts you out of that attitude. Next thing you know, you're above that. People look at you and say, well, why are you smiling? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me. Give God a praise today. I'm going to give him that praise and all of the glory because it belongs to him. It belongs to him. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you so much for your goodness and your love. And I'm praying, God, you'd speak to our hearts. Continue to help us to give you the best praise and to offer you everything that we have. Because, Lord, it all belongs to you. We cannot give this praise to anyone else. So we just want to say thank you for all you've done. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we continuing our service, we want to give you an opportunity, extend the invitation to you. If you never received Christ, or maybe you've never thought about giving God thanks for your life, today would be a good day. Today would be a great day to say, Lord, thank you. When actually we all stand, the invitation is given, the doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. With everyone today. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks?